This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Gina Fattori is a successful television writer, but she says even when she was little, she knew that making a living that way would be hard.
I knew I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't grow up in a world where people were writers, and it was obviously not a practical way to support myself.
She was supporting herself as a newspaper copy editor in 1995 when she saw Amy Heckerling's movie Clueless, which was a kind of Beverly Hills version of Jane Austen's Emma.
Isn't my house classic? The columns date all the way back to 1972.
So I guess the scenes that I can picture are Cher and Josh sitting on the couch watching TV, and he's sort of upbraiding her, which is what Mr. Knightley does to Emma all the time, about how she needs to be essentially a better person.
Hey! Hi, you just got here and already you're playing Couch Commando?
Hey, you know, in some parts of the universe, maybe not in contempo casual, but in some parts, it's considered cool to know what's going on in the world.
Thank you, Josh. I so need lessons from you on how to be cool. Tell me that part about Kenny G again.
To me, that really helped me crystallize why the Austen novels had always had such meaning to me, because everything in them is so completely applicable to the present day in a way that I guess I've always seen. And it always amazes me when people go on and on about, oh, there's horses and carriages and corsets, and it has nothing to do with present day. Whereas courtship and hurt feelings and all of these things exist not just in high school, but virtually in every aspect of society. Maybe 4 years later, I was living in LA. I had managed to get my first job as a TV writer, which was obviously something I really didn't know existed when I was growing up. And I ended up getting this job on this show called Dawson's Creek.
Dawson, what exactly do you know about my life these days? I mean, think about it.
It was a teen show. It was about high school kids, and it was totally about their relationships with each other.
I don't know a thing about your life either.
Dude, I'm sorry if I've been distant, but I thought that's what we needed.
I guess, in retrospect, the only way I had to sort of think about stories like that was to think about Jane Austen. I think the Jane Austen novels, my theory in a way is that they're serialized drama about the minutiae of who likes whom. And people always say nothing happens, nothing happens, nothing happens. Things happen, but then what happens is the action stops and people talk about what just happened and you're getting to know the characters. This is basically how we would kind of structure Dawson's Creek episodes, where something would happen in the beginning, some small thing, some misunderstanding, somebody would ask somebody to go to a dance or whatever it was. And in the second act of the story, they would parse, what does this mean? What should I do? They'd sort of lay out what the problem was.
Recently, you and I spoke about unrequited feelings at a certain someone.
Namely Pacey.
Namely Pacey may have had for me.
I wrote the scene of Joey and Jen are walking down a street and they're talking about Joey's dilemma at the time, which is she loves Pacey, but she hasn't told Dawson yet that she loves Pacey. And Jen is basically saying, you should do this. You should tell Dawson.
But the thing is, my feelings have been clouded by my fear of what Dawson will do or say once he knows. When we tell him, Dawson gets hurt.
And I even in this scene, I am ashamed to admit, I stole like almost exactly a line from Jane Austen from a scene in Persuasion.
Whatever I do, I'm the villain. The girl's always the villain, right? In stories like these, she's always some wicked, conniving whore who manipulates her way between two brothers or two best friends.
Okay, Joey, keep in mind that most of those stories have been written by men.
It's my most egregious Jane Austen ripoff. Eventually, later on, many years later, I ended up working on Gilmore Girls.
Hey, how's the food coming? I'm starving.
Who is that?
The character of Luke has this classic, very Austen male characteristic, which is that he's very plain-spoken.
I don't know. This is new for me.
And Lorelai, who is in many ways one of these sort of clueless Jane Austen heroines, talks incessantly.
Usually when I come in, you say hi, and then I say hi, and you tell me what's going on in your life, and I tell you what's going on in my life. It's not curing the bird flu or anything, but it's been a nice tradition.
And on Gilmore, the only relief you ever got from this was in these scenes with Luke. So part of the journey of the arc of the Gilmore Girls involved Lorelai having some realization about who she loves. And that is the classic Jane Austen clueless heroine who's going to understand the state of her own heart.
Luke, will you?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to answer, so...
Yes.
We can take a minute to...
No.
So, what now?
Basically, I consider myself a spinster. I mean, I've lived my whole life without ever having any of these little relationships, these sort of mock marriages, I guess, that people have. And it's only recently, I guess, that I've realized that that ironic distance voice of Jane Austen, which is really her voice, is what captured me. Certainly not the stories of, oh, my God, I'm going to meet someone, fall in love and get married. Like, I didn't think, wow, Mr. Knightley, he's the real prize. Like, I guess I thought literary immortality, that's the prize. I just wanted to be Jane Austen. That's all I wanted.
Gina Fattori writes for Showtime's Californication, which will have its second season this summer. Studio 360's Jenny Lawton produced our story. If there's some movie or book or song or work of art that changed your life, we'd like to hear about it at studio360.org.